Hey, MMA, back in your life.
What up? You already know. I didn't like that laugh. That was my evil laugh.
Oh, evil Monty. With Basio on your lap.
What up, boys? You guys already know what it is. And girls, you know, gender inclusive out here. It's your boys, A&A MMA. We got your boy, Bug Catcher Slim, and your favorite, Gym Leader Monty.
Oh, Ace Trainer Monty.
I could have made you like super nerd Slim.
Yeah, that's true. Or like the what was it, the collectors that always would wear Kangaskhan pants? Like, why?
Stupid.
No, if I'm a bug catcher, I got like a mega Beedrill and shit. Like,
that's stupid.
Geeky.
What's up, Slim?
Oh, you know, living life, living the dream, sweating. There's been no AC at my work for going on a week.
Yeah.
And it's 80. In it, more like 82.
I've been working on two decks the last 2 weeks, so I have been in the open sun.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Free season on Monty with the heat.
I don't like it.
No, me either. But then we're going to complain when it's cold, so.
Not me.
I like the cold.
When you're cold, you can always put more layers on. When you're naked, you've gone too far.
Yeah, exactly. When you're laying in your room just dying.
Because I don't have central air.
That sucks.
We have a window unit.
Yeah, my apartment was like that.
And we turn it off at night because we don't want to let it run like all day, you know?
I'd let it. I don't know. Yeah, I guess when it's night, you turn it off. But
bro, I'm just miserable. I got to wash my sheets like 5 times a week because I'm just leaking.
That's so bad.
It's uncomfortable, but it's fine. I lose the water weight that I drink in beer.
I saw the news that you came out as gay on the last day of Pride Month. They were talking about famous rapper comes out.
Yeah, my one song where I was like, I feel like I'm stuck under frozen water. That was the barrier that I had to break.
You're stupid.
And then,
the breaking down for him.
Yeah. And that anal comment with your daughter was actually your son.
You're wildin', little Slim X.
No. I was gay, but now I'm straight. They ironed me out. Got my dick out the booty because it tired me out. Shout out Zach Fox.
What?
Have you heard that?
No, dude, but that's fucking hilarious.
I'll show you the video later. He's like, I'm going to dip my balls in some Thousand Island dressing because I got depression.
What the fuck? That shit is silly. No.
I put my dick in a bag of Doritos and make the bitch suck the dust off the tip.
Oh, no. Jeez. All right. I got neighbors are probably like, God.
We'll play that. I'll throw that in here right now.
With the stick and now I get the spraying now. I used to be gay and now I'm fucking straight and now. Yeah, they had to iron me out. I got the dick out the booty because it tired me out.
Bro, it's over.
Kenny.
What?
You record that?
No.
Oh my god. Fuck this shit, nigga. I'm finna go work with Murder Beats.
Okay, so anyway, not gay.
That wasn't you? I must have been tripping.
No, that was that other rapper.
Yeah, my bad.
Dude, I don't like how the tweets have been going, like, all the gay people are like, ha ha, now you like a gay dude's song, ha ha. I'm like, dude, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I listen to Frank Ocean. What do you mean?
Right. The internet? Come on.
Yeah.
I got gay homies. What do you mean?
Right. Like, if they made music, that shit would be dope too.
Yeah, that shit don't bother me in the least bit.
Right.
Like,
I'm about to close the garage door, so momentary weird noises.
No, I'm going to pause for that. All right, garage door closed. We're back. but yeah, anyway, shouts out to Lil Nas coming out on the last day of Pride. That's pretty dope.
That's what's up.
I don't know what's gonna bring you down. That shit's hot. I still don't really rock with the EP that much.
The EP's hard, bro.
I'll take your word for it.
Gotta listen to Bring You Down and Closure and Kick It.
You gotta listen to the fucking motherfucking City Cop, boy.
What?
They're punk. What is he selling?
Chocolates.
They're a punk rock band from Akron.
Oh, okay.
Really dope.
I'll have to check them out.
Because I know you like that cue ball. Oh, by the way, motherfucking cue ball is playing this Friday at the Peach Pit.
You'll be there?
With Young Freely Spoken.
I'll go for Freely.
And Dead Culture.
Oh.
They're disgusting.
Oh.
I forget who else. Oh, H-Money. Duh.
H-Money.
And H-Money's punk band is back.
What?
Takeover Soldiers. They're hard.
What?
Yes. H-Money does it all, bro. He's out here. But
okay.
They're making the drive from PA. And Dead Culture's coming up from Columbus.
All right.
Chance is really out here.
Chance be on his P's and Q's. On his Q's and P's.
You know what I'm saying? Young Bookington.
What else happened? Anything cool?
Not for me. I got some sun. I went swimming Sunday.
Yeah, you saw what's his name?
Jeremy Caldwell,
owner of
Honor Fighting Championship, and
yeah.
Kim Tam. Bro,
what a combo.
So listen to this. So I'm walking up to like the place where you buy your ticket. All right,
yeah.
And we just keep hearing like people just going, like screams, like it sounded like a fucking roller coaster.
Yeah,
or
right.
And we're like, yo, what the hell did they add to this? Like,
yeah,
how are they having
this.
That much fun in the lake? Like, what?
Right.
So we get closer. And we get to the check-in spot, there's a fucking wrestling ring.
Excuse me.
And a wrestling match going on.
Like Sean Ast
yes.
type wrestling?
Yes. Like, dudes
oh, wow.
are getting thrown out onto
it?
The grass.
You,
yeah, a little bit of it, yeah. It was
did
nuts.
You enjoy it?
No, but I understood the novelty of it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, right.
Dude.
That's what it's all about.
Right.
It's like a... I don't know what's another novelty thing that people just like. It's like, how do you enjoy this? Golf.
All right. Don't you enjoy golf?
Not really. I mean, I gamble.
Catch
so.
Me on the 9 hole looking sad as fuck.
Yeah, I can't see now. If you want to go golfing, nah, we can smoke a blunt and have a good time. But if you're trying to like competitively golf, dog, I'm not the one.
No,
I'm not the one.
You stay in the sand dunes.
I can't drive, bro. If I do get a hold of one, it's going like a billion feet to the right, or I'm hitting a straight worm burner.
Ooh.
But my chipping game and my putting game's nice.
All right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if we're playing best ball, let me get me close to the green and I'll finish it off.
Putt-putt Monty.
Ooh. Dude, have you watched Holy Moly yet, Slim?
No, it's not.
Bro, it's like this miniature golf, extreme miniature golf show that's on, I think it's ABC right now.
Okay.
And it's just like... It's unbelievably funny, bro. Like, I highly suggest checking it out. It's hosted by Joe Tessitore and Rob Riggle, and they are stupid fucking funny together. Steph Curry's in it for whatever fucking reason, but it's fucking dope, dude. Like,
oh, yeah,
people
doesn't he host that?
Yeah. Like,
okay,
he doesn't host it. He makes, like, guest appearances in it, but, like, dude, the obstacle courses are crazy, and people bust their shit up. Like, first episode, the school teacher got her shit wrecked, bro. I was crying laughing. And then second episode, dude like splits his nose open. It's
shit.
Hardcore, bro.
That's
it gnarly. Goes hard. I definitely check out
okay.
or recommend checking out Holy Moly.
All right, I will check that out. Ooh, great movie on Netflix.
Oh,
The Perfectionist.
Ooh, I'm not hip,
bro.
What's that about?
I don't even know if I can explain it without like ruining the spoilers. Basically about these two like world class cello players that went to this crazy school that, like, only the best of the best of the best get to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they met up and did a little performance together. And then they, like, fell in love. But then some crazy shit starts popping off. Dude, you have to watch it. Like, it is
so
insane.
So, it's like a Star Is Born.
One of the girls chops off her hand.
Okay.
Because she thinks bugs are eating her alive.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's what I'm talking
look,
about.
Watch the movie. It's
all right.
Fucking nuts. Like one of the biggest plot twists I've ever seen.
Oh, okay,
bro, fucking crazy. But yeah, that's Slim's recommendation of the week.
You said you're gonna start your own podcast soon?
I was, yeah, I was gonna try and doing a little something from the things that we miss, because I know like last week we didn't talk about bare knuckle boxing. What else did we not talk about? There's just a couple other things that I just wanted to like. Rant about, I guess, or a couple other things that came out in news, like literally the day after the podcast dropped, that we didn't get to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of shit went down at the home the last few days. So
I be feeling it. I be feeling
shit,
it.
Family shit. You know, whatever. Things happen.
Big shout out to the homie Marquise making a solid recovery.
Big shout out to Marquise.
He's basically the Black Wolverine.
I was going to say 50 Cent, but...
No, he got shot more times than 50 Cent. Oh! Fucking, yeah.
Damn!
Yeah. True gangster. Real ones never die.
No.
Nah.
No.
Not that easy, at
immortal.
Least.
Yeah. No shouts out to those punk bitches that did it.
Yeah, those little homies are about to be in jail forever. Bye. Stupid little bastards. You're lucky I didn't get you with the clippy clippy.
Ooh.
I was riding around.
Young Monty Extendo.
And they put their parents' houses on there. They're lucky I didn't air their parents out.
Right. The fuck?
Hope you got little siblings. I'll air them out, too.
Ooh. Yeah.
Talking about spice.
Yeah. They have a little coriander over
if
here.
If somebody shot you, Slim, I'd be airing them out, too. I mean, I don't get it twisted.
Oh, same. I go get Curtis's fucking Draco.
Ooh.
That's Curtis. That's a mean slug.
Or the shoddy.
Yeah. Bro, have you seen, like, Justin's guns lately?
No, Justin got the nice...
Justin's got a fucking, like, Call of Duty class set up.
He's got, like...
What's this grenade?
Fuck, stuns.
Nine bangs and shit?
Yeah. Like, what did you do to get all of this?
Where'd you go, bud? Yeah. Is that a fucking wrist rocket? Where did you get that?
Fucking Jackie Briggs and shit? The fuck? This dude's cyborg.
He's got a combat knife? Fuck.
That's silly. We had a card last weekend.
Mm-hmm. We did.
The third one that was fully on ESPN regular programming.
Yeah. Tried to watch it at my friend's house with their Roku, and it didn't work. So I had to plug my... Don't know. It said, like, I signed in with all my shit. It said my... that channel is not covered by my service provider. And I'm like, I'm literally watching it on my computer right now with the same shit.
Maybe that's why. Can you not watch two at the same time?
I was watching it on my phone as well.
Oh, well.
If it's ESPN Plus, then it stops you. It's like, yo, you logged into too many devices. But just regular ESPN, like, you got cable. They don't give a shit how many times or how many things you watch it on.
Okay.
So the Roku's fucking up. So I plugged my computer via mini display port into the TV via HDMI.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Nice, dude.
Instant display. Even the sound goes through to that to play out the TV. It's pretty dope.
That's pretty nasty.
Yeah, it's very clutch.
I'm going on vacation on the 13th through the 20th, so we're going to have to do Skype episode, Outer Banks.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
Good for you.
I think next week will be my last episode before vacation.
Okay.
But we can do a Skype episode for sure.
Down. I don't... Maybe.
Why?
I don't know how to do that.
You did it before.
When we were using my computer, but recording it on another computer.
You can use my computer.
Show up to your house. Hey, I'm here to use Monty's stuff.
No, they're going with me.
Oh, shit. Well.
Except my dad.
You gonna let me borrow it?
Yeah, you can use it.
All right. We'll figure it out.
If that's what it takes.
Yes, sir.
But anyways, let's go ahead and get into UFC on ESPN. Okay. Ngannou versus Dos Santos, a.k.a. UFC on ESPN 3.
Yes, in the very first fight, we had the Crochet Boss?
Pirate.
I like the pirate better.
Yeah.
That's old pirate mo. Maurice Green going up against Baby Fat Albini. Baby might be out of here.
Yeah, I mean... let me come into the UFC and just KO Timothy Johnson and it gets you every time. And then get worked upon my next
every time
fights.
I'm like, oh, he's going to fight next. I don't know, give him fucking Tim Johnson. The fucking mustache. Well, that would be a mustache ride from hell. Anyway.
But yeah, just struggle lately for Junior Albini. I mean, he goes in there and throws him. It's not like he doesn't make it somewhat exciting, but
right. No, there were excellent exchanges in this. They both landed quite a bit. What, this can't be right. Total strikes 9-4.
Maybe
they were only throwing power shots, though, to be fair.
Yeah,
like Maurice was jabbing a little bit, but Albini was just throwing fucking yammers.
Definitely. And Pirate Mo ended up catching Maurice Green, just dropped him to one knee, and then, what'd I say? Pirate Mo ended up dropping Maurice Green. Pirate Mo ended up dropping Junior Albini to one knee. Albini got up with a quick recovery, but not too long after that, he got sat right back down, and Pirate Mo jumped on top of him to get a finish in front of the home crowd, starting Minnesota fighters off with a pretty good night.
Yeah.
Had the crowd pretty excited, first fight of the night. So, good fight for Maurice Green, who is now doing very well in his start to his UFC career.
Yeah, 3-0 so far.
Yeah.
That's nice.
With wins over Michelle Batista, who was a Cuban Olympic wrestler. Jeff Hughes, who we already know what his rap sheet has on it.
Oh, by the way, it looks like I'm not going to have stats for this because every fight is showing 9-4 strikes landed. So no stats for me. Maurice Green starting out 3-0. I like him. I think I like him now. And he called out Andrei Arlovsky. I think that was great.
What do you think about that one? I mean,
that's great.
That
3-0 in the heavyweight division is hard to do.
Yeah, like, why not?
Especially to start off your UFC career with big names. Hell yeah. Even though Andrei's fighting, fuck, who's he fighting? He's fighting in August or something.
Yeah, it's somebody who he's expected to beat, though, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I like the fight. I like the matchup. For sure.
Me too.
Anyway, going on to the next fight, we had Emily Spitfire Whitmire going up against newcomer Amanda Ribas.
Oh, and me and Slim also both picked Maurice Green in that previous fight, starting us off 1-0 on the night.
Yeah. Amanda Ribas, I believe she was a champ in her former organization. And Spitfire Whitmire, trying to get a little run going in the, what is this, strawweight division?
Yeah.
But, you know, it really didn't feel like Emily had, like, I don't know what you'd call it. Like, she didn't have the tenacity, I guess.
Yeah, and she's kind of known for being lethargic in her fights. She only has one finish in her entire career, so, and that was in her last fight when she got a rear naked choke. But, yeah, other than that, she usually rides it out to a decision. She likes kind of handling it on the ground if she can, but Amanda Ribas just too strong on the ground, and her strikes were holding up really well, actually hurting Emily Whitmire pretty bad there. So a good performance for Amanda Ribas's very first UFC fight, and her post-fight interview was very good too.
I didn't get to listen to it.
She was just very charismatic, and she had the crowd going.
I was in the shower. She said she's a black belt in judo and a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And then she was like, but I'm a white belt in English.
Yeah, so she got people with that. Like, that's funny. She admitted that she's working on it, which is awesome.
Actually,
so.
I'm going to look up how many double black belts are in the UFC.
Because
I don't know.
Like, Valentina has, like, 4 different black belts, dog.
True. I mean, like, but they're all in, like, one thing, aren't they?
Huh?
Like,
Huh?
Never mind. This is gonna be too hard to look up right now. But I thought they were all in, like, you know, judo and fucking Muay Thai. Maybe she got more than that.
I wasn't listening. I'm sorry.
All right, fine. I'll look it up later. Okay, so yeah, Amanda Ribas looking great in her debut. Going on this next fight. Holy cow! We had Daquan Townsend, the Tarantula, going up against Dalucha Lungimbula.
No. Try that one again.
Oh, Dalcha.
Yay.
Lungimbula.
Yay.
Remember that name. This dude is a problem.
So he was actually the national judo champion of South Africa. Okay, whoa. So I'm sorry. I think of all of Africa because he's from the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Okay.
DRC, to be short. So I knew his grappling was going to be on par, but it was his punching power that ended up getting him the third round finish over somebody who actually surprised me and stepped up to the plate to even get this fight still on or keep this fight on the card, Daquan Townsend.
Townsend looked great, and I'm pretty sure he took it on. Wait, which one took it on short notice?
Townsend.
Okay, yeah. He took it on, like, what, 11 days or something like that?
Justin Ledet backed out on June 24th, and this was on the 29th, so 5-day notice against that guy.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
And he looked decent. Like, his striking was on point.
He was hanging in there. Yeah, he was hanging in there.
His
so
shots he was throwing
I think Daquan Townsend does deserve a second chance. He's an experienced fighter. I believe his record was 21-8 coming into this bout. So, you know, Dalcha Lungimbula, though,
scary.
Fuck, dude.
And he normally... Wait, who is it Townsend that normally fights at welterweight? Or middleweight?
No.
Lungji and Bulla usually...
He fights at heavyweight. He was actually the light heavyweight. Yeah, and heavyweight.
It was Townsend that usually fights at middleweight.
So, we'll see how... And maybe Lungji and Bulla wants to go up to heavyweight. We'll see.
5'8"? That's like Pat Barry shit.
Maybe, though.
That's nuts.
He's a beast.
Dude, he's scary.
Yeah. So, he's fun to watch. I want to see him back in there ASAP.
His wrestling was on point.
For sure, dude. Daucha, Lungji and Bulla defeated Daquan Townsend via punches and elbows. 42 seconds into the third round. An absolutely amazing performance by him. And like I said, I cannot wait to see him get back in there.
And we got that one right. We did not get the Emily Whitmire fight.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. So we're 2-1 on the night.
Yeah. Going to the next one, we have Jared Flash Gordon going up against the Hitman, Dan Moret.
Yeah, so another really fun fight here. Jared Gordon I don't think he was expecting to get this much of a battle from Dan Moret, but
no.
Dude, this fight was a banger. I thought this was a possible candidate for fight of the night. Jared Gordon, man.
Will you open that door?
What, you need some air? I'm
fucking sweating.
Oh.
Sweating bullets.
Jeez.
Not the garage.
Will you pause this so I can go get some water?
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to take a short pause, and we'll be right back. I made that beat. Do you like that?
Yeah, it was good.
Dude, I got the fire. Anyway.
I started freestyling that.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, go in. I'll run it back.
No, it's okay.
All right, fine. Jared Flash Gordon, Dan Moret. Dan Moret put up a fight.
Yeah. Jared Gordon, man. Good to see him back to his winning ways after starting off very well in his UFC career, struggling as of late, although he did get a performance fight of the night in his previous fight before this one against Joaquin Silva.
Mm-hmm.
Just good to see him get back on the mic after the fight because he always takes that opportunity to, of course, tell victims of sexual violence and drug addiction that he's always there with them. So it's always good. He always does that every time he gets it. So, you know, a big shout out to our guy, Jared Gordon, for, you know, always pushing his message out there, always, you know, overcoming adversity. Got himself a victory over a very, very tough Dan Moret. Judges had it 30-27, 30-27, 29-28.
And we picked that one right as well.
Yeah, and Dan Moret is now on a 3-fight losing skid himself, still yet to get a win in the UFC.
Mm.
Yeah, 0-3, but hey, he's still out here trying. He goes out there and he puts it all on the line when he fights, so
right.
You know, keep putting him in there.
Right. In this next fight, we had your boy. It's your boy, Eric Anders, going up against Vinicius Castro.
Vinicius Moreira.
I thought it was Mahmoud or Mamute or something.
That's somebody else's nickname.
Fair enough. All right, so.
It's Vinicius Moreira.
All right, cool. So Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, I believe he's on the Brazil edition, right?
No, he actually fought Alonzo Menafield in
that's
the
right.
American version.
That's right. Coming up to fight Eric Anders.
So Eric Anders actually was a not very short notice, but there was a debuting fighter who was pulled from this event, and Eric Anders was replacing him on May 7th. So,
oh, okay,
that's a tough step up from this random newcomer to fucking Eric Anders.
Yeah,
so,
Jesus.
So and, tough draw there for Vinicius Moreira.
Right.
And
Eric Anders looked great.
Yeah, dude. It only took a minute and 18 seconds to go out there and just pretty much bull rush Vinicius.
He needed that though.
Oh, yeah.
He really did.
He was
on
ready.
Three-fight skid after getting just his legs destroyed by Khalil Roundtree.
Yeah, and he needed that win in light heavyweight.
Yes, for sure. I still want him to move back down to middleweight. He's only 6'1" or something. He's tiny.
Yeah, but apparently that weight cut wasn't very good for him, and if he can keep stringing together performances like this, it'll take him pretty far. So Eric Anders ended up getting himself a much-needed victory over Vinicius Moreira. That was 1 minute and 18 seconds into the very first round. That got him the first performance bonus of the night, $50,000 for Eric Anders.
Nice. On to this next one. Oh, and we also picked Eric Anders. On to this next one. We got Ricardo Hamush going up against Journey Newsom.
Yeah. Another short notice fighter stepping in here. We had Journey Newsom, who was originally supposed to... Oh, Sergio Pettis was supposed to be the one fighting Ricardo Hamush.
That would have been a great fight.
Right. So, again, another really tough fight for somebody who's stepping in on short notice. Journey Newsom. Hey, how about you go in here and fight our 23-year-old fucking super prospect?
Dude, Ricardo Hamush used this fight to show off his skills.
Yeah, and but first off, shout out to Journey Newsom and that iron chin, dude.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Bro, that spinning elbow that he took off the chin,
yeah,
it sounded like somebody took a baseball bat and just whacked it across his head.
Literally.
And he just took a couple steps back and kept going.
Right.
Unbelievable chin, dude.
Nuts.
The fight in this kid is for real. He's fun to watch. Don't sleep on Journey Newsom, because if he gets a couple fights under him where maybe he's fighting, you know, you got to work your way up.
And he's prepared. Like,
yeah, you got to work your way up in especially a promotion like UFC. You can't just go straight into fighting a top guy. It's tough. You have to have a couple fights where, you know, you're pretty evenly matched with the guy across from you. Maybe even a little feed you fight if you're that good.
Right.
But Journey Newsom didn't care about all that. He went right in there, stepped in, and put on a really good performance. He fell to 7-2 in his career. That was the first time he ever suffered a decision. And Ricardo Hamush, now 4-1 in the UFC, has earned 3 of his 4 UFC victories by decision, which... It's crazy because it seems like he's always going for the knockout.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But yeah,
I like him. I like him a lot.
Great performance by him. Like I said, that spinning elbow was moment of the night for me, honestly.
Yeah.
It was just unbelievable watching
him.
Dude, he
tried to land another one.
I know. He's wild.
Dude, he's going for it. So he wants that knockout again.
Yeah. Ricardo Hamush defeated Journey Newsom. All 3 judges had it as a 30-27. All across the boards. And that was your preliminary card that was aired on ESPN. And now we go to the 6-fight main card.
Oh, we also picked Ricardo Hamush.
Yeah, so on that preliminary card, we went 5-1.
Nice.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Dude, we've been doing great the last couple
of weeks. I know.
You guys got to listen. We were struggling there for a minute, all right? But this is the new start to me and Slim's little betting, and I still haven't done our records, but we're doing way fucking better than we were doing last time, because we were like negative for a minute. So
that was scary. Actually, I think we both ended negative regardless.
No, we did not. We were like definitely probably about 20 fights over positive.
20?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. All right.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Well, we were negative for a bit. Anyway, Alonzo Menifield going to fight the Bear Jew Paul Craig.
Yeah.
Dude, Menifield, what a scary guy. His fucking chest.
Mm-hmm.
God.
He's built like a how you would make a create me character.
So
like.
I don't quite remember what Paul Craig went for, but he ended up like
it was a one spinning heel kick that landed the first time, and that but didn't even like land. It was kind of just like effective, and then he put a couple strikes out there, threw another one that was kind of close, and then threw another one right after that and lost his balance. And Alonzo Menifield,
bro,
just hopped on him and
threw the haymaker of a century.
Just slept him instantly and gave him, I think, what was it?
4. Like 3 or 4.
Yeah. I think it was 4.
Unanswered.
He reached around the ref on the one, bro.
Right.
Like literally reached perfectly around him and landed it.
That dude was like, I'm winning no matter what.
Man, yeah. Alonzo Menifield is now 9-0, 2-0 in the UFC, and all of his career victories are by stoppage.
Yikes.
8 of them by knockout.
Ugh. Scary motherfucker.
Dude.
Bro, another addition to the light heavyweight division.
Yeah, and a good one to watch.
Yes.
What about him versus Dalcha?
Ooh.
Fire it up.
Whoa.
That'd be nasty.
That'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be very interesting. Damn. But Paul Craig ends his couple of last minute finish in the third round streak.
He beat Kennedy's Njichekwu in his last fight with a late triangle, but he lost his fight before that against Jimmy Crute.
Oh, I thought never mind. That's right. I forgot.
But he did have the other last minute one, the fight before Jimmy Crute.
I forgot about Jimmy Crute. He's coming back soon, I'm pretty sure.
Jimmy Crute's next fight is against Misha Cirkunov on September 14th.
Fire.
UFC on ESPN 16.
Yes.
ESPN Plus 16.
Yes. I like that.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
All right, moving on to the next one.
Slim and I got that one correct as well. Move us up to 6-1.
Yeah, boy. We got Drew, the Crimson Chin Dober, going up against El Toro Marco Polo Reyes.
Yeah, you.
I honestly thought Marco Polo Reyes would have put up a more of a slugfest in this fight. Yeah. I thought he would make it dirty.
Right.
And just make it like a disgusting brawl.
Yeah.
But Drew Dober was just stayed technical, stayed tight, and just landed some nice punches.
How about this? Early. He had the earliest knockout of the night.
Wow.
And didn't get a performance of the night bonus.
Ugh.
And I forgot to mention, Alonzo Menafield got one for his 3-minute and 19-second knockout over Paul Craig.
To be fair, he knocked him out cold.
True, yeah, and Drew Dober's was a TKO, but it was the quickest knockout of the night, and we handed out 4 performance of the night bonuses, so, yeah, Drew Dober, man, came in, like Slim said, beautiful technical fight, just perfect, honestly. I don't, how many strikes absorbed? You don't got any stats?
Nope.
All right.
It's still just 9-4.
Those were not the stats. I
think that was for the main event.
That was the fastest victory of Drew Dober's now 30-fight MMA career. He is now 21-9, 8-4 in the UFC, while Marco Polo Reyes is now 8-6. He is 4-3 in the UFC, and all 6 of his career losses are by stoppage.
Wow.
He's never lost by decision.
That's not good.
No.
No. <It's not. laughs>
So, yeah, good performance there by Drew Dober to get back to his winning ways after that tough triangle armbar he got put in by Beneil Dariush after being on such a great three-fight win streak. Yeah. Let's move on to the next fight, staying in the lightweight division.
We had Roosevelt Roberts, the heavy favorite, coming in against Vince from El Pichel.
Yeah, Roosevelt Roberts, of course, the unbeaten prospect who a lot of hype behind him. One of Sean Shelby's favorites, if I'm not mistaken, or McMaynard. One of them. One of the.
I think Sean's the lighter weights.
Yeah, he absolutely loves this guy. You know, Roosevelt Roberts. A lot of hype, like I said, but Vince Pichel was not fazed at all by the hype train.
No, that man's chin.
Yeah.
Dude. So Roosevelt came out strong. He looked great. He had great combinations, good footwork. Vince was kind of just eating him up, countering when he could.
Yeah.
But then, like, it all changed in the second round. The whole turn of the fight, or turn of the tide, is what I was looking for there. And Vince Pichel took him down and held him down.
All right. Oh, hi, Popeye.
Oh, I don't want to deal with a dragon today.
Taylor in the building, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to her.
My birthday's tomorrow, shout out.
Hey, ooh. Shout out to you. He can't really come over here. He's going to turn this off. Whoa. Dude, that's a dragon.
That's a mean kitty. Yeah, but Roosevelt Roberts suffering his first career loss at the hands of Vince from Hell Pichel, who trained with Drusfer, right?
I don't did.
I think
Team Quest.
It was one of the homies, or maybe it was Jiggy Smalls.
Where did you see this?
Somebody had a picture with him. It was one of our homies. Maybe even it was Cassius. I don't know.
Huh.
But somebody worked with Vince from Hell Pichel. I'm pretty sure he was at Victory.
He might have been.
Like, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know why he would have. Well.
He was probably in Ohio.
Could be. I don't know where he's from. I don't got stats on. Pichel.
He's from fucking California, but.
Oh, well, then Drew must have seen him at Team Quest.
Well, fucking shit your pants. How about that, son?
You know what? If I drink enough of this whiskey, it might happen. It's been known to happen.
Vince Pichello improves his record to 11-2.
What? Yeah. Yeah.
While Roosevelt Roberts, unfortunately, like I said, suffers his first career loss. 29-28 across the board.
Yep. And that was a loss for us.
Yeah, so that moves Slim and I's record to 7-2. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only our second loss. All right, so going on to this next one.
This is only had our first disagreement.
Very first. We had Damian Maya going up against Tony Rocco Martin. Oh, it's just Rocco now?
No, it's Anthony. It's not Tony.
All I got is Rocco Martin on you.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. He needs to pick one and stay with it.
It's just Rocco, boy.
In my mind, he needs to just fucking stay with one. But,
I agree.
I picked Damian Maya in this one, and Slim went with the hot fighter here in Anthony Rocco Martin.
Who's on a 4-fight win streak.
With wins over Sergio Moraes, Jake Matthews, Ryan LaFlair, Keita Nakamura. I mean, he's over here. Stop worrying about my cat.
He was right next to me. I was just making sure he's not going to attack me.
He ain't going to attack you.
I'll bet.
As long as you don't reach at him.
Bet.
If you reach at him, he'll fuck your shit up.
I know he will. Anyway. Rocco Martin, though. Succumbing to the takedowns.
Yep.
Thought he would be able to stop it. Damian Maya threw one punch this whole fight.
So Damian Maya can usually get you down unless you're like one of those great welterweight wrestlers. Kamaru Usman, Colby Covington.
True.
Tyron Woodley.
True.
Those are the guys that he struggled getting down.
Yeah.
Rory McDonald.
Right.
Jake Shields.
Yeah.
Chris Weidman.
Right.
Okay, so we get the trend.
Oh, God,
okay?
He did fight Chris Weidman. That's nuts to think about now.
Yeah, I know.
Mark, dude, if he would have started
off,
Mark
Munoz too.
If he would have started off his career at welterweight, could you imagine like Damian Maya versus Jake Shields back in their primes?
That kind of happened.
Did that happen?
Yeah, Jake Shields. They fought to a decision.
Oh shit!
A split decision in 2013.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. All right,
it was a main event.
That one slipped my mind. So, might have been the period where I wasn't watching UFC at the time.
Damian
anyway.
Maya has fought literally everybody.
Yes.
Chael Sonnen, Nate Marquardt, Anderson Silva, Kendall Grove, Chris Weidman, Rick Story, John Fitch. I mean, I can go on
nuts.
And on.
Anyway, yeah, Damian Maya getting it done against Rocco Martin. Rocco turned it on in the third round, and he could have got the finish, but he looked like hesitant.
He didn't realize that he had
him hurt.
Yeah.
He rocked him.
And he just kind of sat back and didn't do anything about it at all. So
that crushed my soul.
Yeah, Damian Maya defeated Anthony Rocco Martin. Majority decision. The judges had it 29-28, 29-28. One judge did have it as a equal 28-28. That moved me to 4 fights in front of Slim on the bets.
Mm-mm-mm.
So... You know, you always talk shit, so I had to.
Yeah,
I had to message you, kind of just say something, and you said, "That's all right, bro. Juicy A's got me in this next one."
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to this flyweight bout.
So we had Juicy A for me.
The first title implication bout of the night because we had two.
Yes, we did. Juicy A for me going up against Joseph Benavidez. Dana White said forever ago that this is going to be for the number one contender spot.
Yeah.
And then he came out of the press conference and says, well, you know, we'll see what happens, as he always does.
Yeah.
So he could have made the announcement. He just didn't. Anyway, I picked Juicy A for me coming into this because I thought he absolutely destroyed. Who did he fight last time?
It was Davison Figueiredo.
Yes. Not absolutely destroyed, but he looked very good.
I mean,
good
he
against.
Dominated.
Yes, for sure. So Joseph Benavidez coming into this. I just thought he was going to get caught. And, no, he was the one catching Formiga.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, he looked great.
Yep.
He looked solid as hell.
Yeah.
Formiga wasn't winning this fight at any point.
No. We saw before Joseph Benavidez absolutely handle Juicy A Formiga.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that was a different time, but
2013.
In my mind, not much has changed between them. Joseph Benavidez is still the top flyweight behind one or two guys usually, so
right. Always
yeah.
And he got on the mic afterwards and said, "Hey, yo, they call me Joey two times. I beat Formiga twice. I beat who else did he beat twice? He beat someone else twice." And he was like, "And I'll beat Henry twice. I already beat him once. Let's go." And I was like, okay,
makes sense.
I fuck with that.
Yeah, if that's his thing. I like that.
Joey two times.
So
dude, Joey, dude.
Joseph Benavidez is now 28-5 overall, 15-3 in the UFC. His 13 victories in UFC flyweight competition are now tied with Mighty Mouse for most ever in flyweight history.
Crazy.
His 6 stoppage victories in UFC flyweight competition are second, of course, behind Mighty Mouse.
Insane.
His 5 knockouts in the flyweight competition are most in divisional history. So he has most knockouts ever in flyweight history.
Wow.
His 4 fight night bonuses for flyweight bouts are tied with Luis the Last Samurai Smolka for second most in divisional history behind Demetrius Johnson. And now Juicy A Formiga has suffered his first stoppage loss since 2013, which came against Joseph Benavidez.
Interesting.
And he has suffered all 3 of his UFC stoppage losses by knockout.
That sucks.
Yep. Damn. But Juicy A Formiga, I'm sure he'll be right back at it against a top 10 fighter, of course. But Joseph Benavidez seals his name as the top flyweight for Henry Cejudo to come back down and fight.
Right. And Aljamain Sterling tweeting that if he loses his chance for a belt to Joseph Benavidez, that he would not be upset.
Right.
Because that was a great performance.
Yeah. And so, I respect that. I hope Dana doesn't try making those 2 fight.
Who?
Aljamain versus, like, Joseph Benavidez.
That'd be goofy, dude. What? He's got, like, 6 inches of height on him.
I know.
That'd be super goofy. But regardless, Henry's out 5-6 months.
Right. So
we're not seeing that till 2020 anyway.
Yeah. You're right.
But.
So Joseph Benavidez defeated Juicy A Formiga with a nasty head kick, followed up by some punches, 4 minutes and 47 seconds into the second round. That got him a $50,000 performance of the night bonus, the third one handed out of the night, and got me up by 5 against Slim. What's happening? Don't let me just start, like, blowing you out. Like, keep it fun, at least.
I've been getting unlucky. Fucking Rocco fucked up my whole DraftKings too.
Yeah, how'd you? I didn't do DraftKings last week.
I lost everything.
How much did you do?
$14.
Ooh, gosh.
I was up 30 at one point.
Did you use the same lineup?
Yeah.
You gotta switch up. Have like 2 lineups.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You gotta try having like 2 or 3 different lineups.
Because they were doing great for me. And I made like 1 wrong call. And
that's how it is.
I know.
You gotta be perfect.
Everyone that beat me picked fucking Francis.
Mm-hmm. You should have. Bro,
I thought it was gonna go heavy with the undercard, and I was doing great. I was up $30.
I would have straight went Francis Ngannou, Alonzo Menafield.
Why didn't
Eric Anders, Dalcha, and then probably whoever the 2 cheapest are.
Yeah, they were way expensive. So then the cheapest I went with was I can't remember. Oh, it's Polo. Marco Polo Reyes. I thought he would.
That's not a bad one.
I thought he would have enough boxing in there to, like, get some points at least.
Points, right.
Nope.
Well, tough weekend for Slim, seems, on the betting side.
On the everything side.
But your record was pretty good. I'm pretty sure you were, like, 8-4 at this point, so.
It's fine.
Moving on to the
don't patronize me
next title implication.
Yes, the fucking heavy-handed strikers, Francis Ngannou, going up against Junior Dos Santos. And I loved what they said in the pre-fight speeches about, like, before there was Francis Ngannou, there was Junior Dos Santos.
Right.
He was the one that was knocking people out.
Right.
He was the scary boxer, power puncher,
mm-hmm.
that was just gonna fucking get in your face and throw these heavy hands.
Exactly.
And it's great that we get to see them 2 meet because, I mean, Francis has been on an absolute run since he came off that suspension. That time off did him good, going 3-0 against, like, super top competition. But Ngannou, man, I think those 2 losses in a row he took really got his head into gear.
Yeah.
It really got him.
He realized he's not just going to come in here and steamroll everybody.
No. Well, he... Yes,
he can, but he has to be focused.
I mean, he has, but I'm just saying, like, he's, you know, he's got to.
He hasn't, though. He was. He
went through Kane and Curtis Blaydes in under a minute.
Yeah, but he was, but he lost twice.
Right.
So that steamroller got stopped.
No, I think
I think the train got off the tracks and it got reset.
Right, but what I'm saying is he lost the Stipe fight, And then, because he got out wrestled, and then he went, because he landed great shots against Stipe.
Yeah.
But he just got out wrestled. So then he went into the Derek Lewis fight, and he was gun shy because he was afraid of losing again.
Right.
But then when he went into the Curtis Blaydes fight, the rematch, he was just like, I don't give a shit. I'm going to do what I know how to do, and I'm going to do it. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went into the Cain Velasquez fight, and he had the same mindset. Yep. Same mindset here. You make one wrong move, and I'm going to hit you with the heaviest punch I have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened.
Exactly.
Kane or Junior Dos Santos, for some reason, threw a weird punch and like got hit and then turned his back. You don't turn your back against Francis Ngannou?
Yo, you remember?
Against Francis Ngannou?
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 You remember how we were telling fight stories and I told you how I snuck the dude the one time? That's what it looked like.
Ugh.
When I just came over his shoulder and he wasn't even seeing me and he just got yammed on. Just like Francis Ngannou did Junior Dos Santos.
Wow.
It was not that powerful, though. Because this
what,
one...
What, your punch or Francis's?
No, mine.
Okay.
Not as powerful as Ngannou's, because that shit was fucking vicious.
Oh, God. That's a scary motherfucker.
Francis Ngannou, in my mind, solidifies if Stipe wins, even if DC wins, no matter who wins, Francis Ngannou's got to be next.
He needs a shot, man. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
And how fun would John Jones versus Francis Ngannou be? At heavyweight, that'd be so
bro,
fun.
Bro, see Jones dodges all those punches and throw an elbow when he gets in too close.
Oh, wow. That'd be so fun to watch.
Good
dude.
Lord. If Jones gets through Thiago Santos, I don't see any contender.
At light heavyweight, he might as well just say fuck it and go to heavyweight?
Yep.
That'd be dope.
Bro, if DC beats Stipe again... You listen to me?
Yeah.
If DC beats Stipe again and then retires and the belt's up for grabs, have John Jones fight Francis for the heavyweight belt, yeah. The vacant one.
I hope that's what happens.
Matchmaker Slim on the case.
Yeah.
Reporting for duty.
I heard it here first. I really, really hope that happens.
Could you imagine John, like 240, just fucking looking cut?
Mm-hmm.
A little thick on him.
A little booty fat on
him. Yeah. Francis only few pounds more. What's he like, 250, 255? Mm. He weighed in for this?
Yeah, he's probably like 250.
Junior Dos Santos was also really heavy for this. He was
he's getting
old. 250. He used to weigh in 240.
He's getting old.
Yeah, it happens. But yeah, dude, bro.
Francis Ngannou lives in Mexico?
Really?
Yeah.
Bro, you want to hear some wild shit?
Why does he live in Mexico?
You want to hear some wild shit?
Yeah.
So the head cleaning guy at my work for the, like, the he's like the ambassador of the company.
Okay.
So he's Mexican.
Okay.
His name's Carlos. Dope. Chill dude. I've talked to him several times. You know,
the
told
homie?
Him. Yeah. No, but, you know, just, you know, someone I can have a conversation
all
with,
right,
you
work,
know.
Work guy.
Yeah, work guy that I can talk to, you know, whatever. So He only comes in the store from time to time just to make sure that the cleaning people are doing what they're supposed to do, you know, whatnot, check back on them.
He did not get picked up by ICE.
So I guess he went to Mexico for a funeral, and no one's heard from him in 24 days.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
My boss came up to me with that news and said, here's our new, like, cleaning representative, and I was just kind of like, what the fuck?
Damn.
Like, I've talked to him several times.
He's probably in a mass burial right now.
Right.
Like, with, like, 200 other dead bodies.
Yeah. You want to talk
about
he
might still be alive.
Fucking shell shock at work? Maybe he's just a prisoner. I don't know, but...
No, he's not a prisoner. He's definitely dead.
What do you mean he might be still alive? Don't give me that hope. I mean, I'm not, like, you know... That just sucks, like, to think about. So, that was one country I'll never go.
What, Mexico?
Yeah. No, thanks.
Bro, my fucking mom went to Mexico.
Okay, how long ago?
Like 3 years ago, maybe.
Shit's different.
Shit's different these days in Mexico.
Ever since
motherfuckers been getting mass killed in Mexico since forever.
Well, since Chapo got locked up.
Oh.
Dude, he cannot do that. This shit's gonna get turned right off. Don't yell at me.
Damn, I'm surprised he didn't just fuck your life up.
He's thinking about it. Look at him.
Yeah, no, he's probably about to fuck you up.
Taylor,
honestly.
Get this guy. Oh, he's going to you. I'm scared. I feel like I'm in Mexico.
You might end up in Spyro's mass burial. It's going to be all just like dead birds and fucking mice.
Man, why didn't I wear long pants today? And you. I don't like that.
Spyro's mass burial.
What him outside? God. Cool. Let him go kill some shit.
He's like, oh, I'm about to kill some shit.
Dude, I want to hear what that sounded like. I got that so close to the mic.
Well, we're about to take a break anyway, so let me spit some facts here.
Okay.
Francis Ngannou's three-fight UFC winning streak in heavyweight competition is now tied for the second longest active streak in the division behind the champ, DC, also and further in my mind solidifying his status as the top contender. He has now earned all 14 of his career victories by stoppage, bro.
Shush.
He's never not stopped somebody.
Nuts.
Ugh. He's earned his past three victories by knockout. I said three victories by knockout in a combined 2 minutes and 22 seconds.
Yep.
What the fuck?
Nuts.
Fools can't even stay in there an average 1 minute with him.
No.
What? And we're talking
Curtis
about
Blades was 30 seconds.
Yeah, we're talking about elite wrestlers, elite boxers. Like, he's faced them all, and he's just
and
dominating
elite,
them.
And elite all around guys.
Yeah, like, the best of the best, and he's dominating them.
Ridiculous. That's a scary guy.
His nine stoppage victories since 2015 are second behind, who do you think?
Nine stoppages?
Yeah, are behind who's 10 since 2015?
Cerrone.
Oh, no. Good try. Thiago Santos.
Really?
Marreta.
Oh, Marreta.
Ngannou's nine stoppage victories. Blah, blah, blah. I already said that. Junior Dos Santos has suffered five of his six career losses by stoppage. And Junior Dos Santos has now landed 1,068 significant strikes in UFC heavyweight competition, most in the heavyweight division ever.
Well, that only was plus four to what he was at.
Well...
Whatever.
He tried. He padded the stats a little bit.
Yeah, he's still in there.
A couple insurance runs.
Yeah, right.
So, Francis Ngannou will be facing whoever wins DC versus Stipe, I think.
Hopefully.
You never know with fucking Dana. But, overall, a great card. I don't think there was one submission, was there? There was one rear naked choke. But other than that, dude... More knockouts than decisions. So
yeah, it was a wild card.
It was a fun one. There was some highlight reel knockouts. We saw some athletic freaks of nature with Dalcha Lungiambala and Alonzo Menafield. We got to see some young up and comers such as Ricardo Ramos. Did you just smell your armpit?
I'm leaking, bro.
A little bit ripe, Taylor.
No, I'm fine.
Oh, I'll actually open up this window.
I got that strength deodorant.
But, that was UFC on ESPN 3.
Yep.
And Slim and I...
You heard it here first.
Slim and I ended, let's see here, 1-0. You were...
I was like 8-4 or 9-4. You were... 11-2?
I think, I was 11-2, yeah. And you were...
Wow, great performance, Monty.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. And we'll see, though, if I can keep it up, because Slim and I have a big card to preview here when we come back.
A big one.
So, Slim, play one of those dope beats you had.
All right, bro, I got you.
Oh, Marlon Vera got a new...
Opponent?
Yeah.
Who?
We'll talk about it when we come back.
Ooh,
give you guys a little.
I like it. fucking rap game on lock. I got the beat game on lock. I got the podcast game on lock.
You should call that one Bug Catcher.
No. No, none of that. None of that. None of that. All right, so we're back.
Enough of the fucking chit chat.
We got a motherfucking pay per view to preview.
Damn, PPV.
What are you doing Saturday?
PPV, POV.
What are you doing Saturday?
BBC.
Really? Pog? Instead of watching the fight?
Instead of watching the fight?
I don't know. So I'm probably fucking watching the fights with you, buddy. I don't know.
Oh, well, Chance has a little video shoot at Paul's, but that's like, excuse me, over there by Mama Rosa's, where it used to be.
Okay.
Hell yeah, brother. I'm in there. Sounds fun. Let's do the damn thing.
Yeah.
So, let me pull up some odds here. So I got odds for the good people. Because, Slim, I'm sure you're not ready to have your picks under such duress right now.
No. Very first fight of the night. We have Raging Panda, Julia Avila, going up against Panay.
No.
Kinzad?
Last name was correct, but it's Panny.
Panny. Panny Bonsai Kinzad.
Yeah.
Whoa.
She actually fought in the UFC once before. She lost. Yeah, that was the Ultimate Fighter. I think that was like the finale.
Yeah, she won a fight in Superior Challenge, and now she's back.
Okay. Nice.
All right, good on you. Going up against the Raging Panda. She's 5-1, 135-pound division.
Nice. So she's fighting out of All Powers Fitness and Fighting, also Junkyard Dogs Fight Team. Like Slim said, she is 5-1, 2 knockouts, 1 submission, 2 decisions. She beat Nico Montano. Montano?
Really?
Yeah, that was
Panda did.
Yeah, and she beat Marion Reynaud, her first professional fight.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was 2012. And then she didn't fight for 4 years. And then she went on a 3-fight win streak that included Nico Montano.
Yeah, that's crazy.
She lost. Her only loss is because she had a finger injury.
Hmm.
So it was a TKO.
Weird.
49 seconds into the first round. But other than that,
finger injury? Why do you keep going? Just don't throw with that hand.
Her shit must have been bent the wrong way.
It could have been.
But yeah, she's looking like the favorite in this one. Like Slim said, going up against Panny Bonsai Kinzad, who has an 11-4 record. Been struggling as of late. She was undefeated all the way up until she had a run-in with Tanya Evinger. After that, she went on a 2-fight losing streak, so 3 losses in a row, and then got back on the winning track. And then she met Macy Chason. So she seems to struggle against the top of the line fighters. Her only notable win is, or I'm sorry, 2 notable wins are over Lena Landsberg and Jessie Rose Clark.
Which are still pretty decent wins.
Yeah, but those were also back in the day. So I think Julia Avila is going to have a good advantage in this one. She is the -250 favorite over the underdog at +195, Panny Kinzad.
Nice. Going on this next fight, we have Chance Rencounter going up against Ismail Nurdaev.
Mm-hmm.
Nurdaev is 18-2 with 11 KOs / TKOs. He's on a 3-fight win streak right now. Excuse me. He beat Michel Prezeres in his last fight.
Yeah, which is like my favorite win of all time because I fucking hate that fat bastard.
Big boy.
Yeah.
Rencounter is coming off a win against Kyle Stewart.
Yeah,
but a loss to Bilal Muhammad in his UFC debut.
That's a tough one, though. Bilal Muhammad for sure comes in there and throws him. But, yeah, really promising, fighter here.
Both fighters, really.
Black Eagle.
Nurdaev is only 22. That's crazy. Yeah. Dude, he's had 20 fights, and he's only 22?
That's wild. And Chance Rencounter is 32 with 16 fights.
Wait, let me look at his, first few fights. So, it went 2012, 2013, 2014... He had 4 fights in 2014, 1, 2, 3, four fights in 2015. Pretty much four fights a year. That's awesome.
Good for him.
No fights in 2018, though.
That's probably an injury or something.
Could be.
But yeah, Ismael Nordeyev is actually
Nordeyev.
Let's see. Oh, it's okay, Popeye. He is the third biggest favorite on this card at minus 500 with the heavy underdog chance for encounter at plus 350.
Damn, they don't believe in my guy.
Where'd he just scratch you?
He didn't scratch me, just
freaked out?
Yeah.
Little bastard.
Sheesh. All right. going to the next fight, we have Edman Shabazian going up against the Hammer Jack Marshman.
Yeah, so the ever-hyped-up Edman Shabazian coming in with that perfect 9-0 record, 21 years old, big wins over Antonio Jones, Darren the Dennis Stewart, Charles Byrd.
Damn.
Yeah, watch out for Edman Shabazian.
Jack Marshman is 23-8. He's coming off a win over John Phillips in March, but he was on two losses before that against Carl Robinson and Antonio Carlos Jr. They put him up against some top competition.
Yeah.
He's only fought once per year since that Antonio Carlos Jr. fight.
Slowed him down a bit.
I lied. He fought Thiago Santos and Ryan James in 2017 as well. Lost to Thiago, win over James.
And then he fought Antonio Carlos Jr., and then he fought Carl Robertson in 2018, and then got a win recently, March 16th, over John Phillips.
Interesting. I like Shabazian in that fight.
Yeah, me too. He is tied as the biggest favorite on this card right now at minus 600 with the heavy underdog Jack Marshman at plus 400.
Jesus.
Yeah, so heavy.
Who's the biggest favorite? What is the Jones-Thiago favorite?
That's also minus 600. Him and John Jones are tied as the biggest favorites on the card.
That's insane to me. All right, going on to the next
one. That's the early preliminary card. Moving on to the preliminary card, which will be aired on ESPN.
We have Song Yadong going up against Alejandro Perez. This one's going to be a banger.
Yeah, bantamweight bout with pretty high implications here. Yadong Song coming in with a 13-3 record. Hasn't lost yet in the UFC, 2-0. Currently on a 6-fight win streak. He's been getting it done lately by knockouts, submissions. He's really been going after it lately, but he's going to have definitely his biggest challenge yet here in Alejandro Perez, coming off that loss from Cody Stamann.
Yeah, he's 21-7 overall. He did have a win over Eddie Wineland back in 2018, and Matthew Lopez, as well as Yair Alcantara and Andre Sukumta.
Yeah, he's...
he's been in the UFC for a bit now.
Yeah, he's 7-2-1 in the UFC, so...
I like Song Yadong in that one, though.
Yeah,
That dude's just a monster.
It's going to be a good one. Song Yadong is currently sitting as the minus 240 favorite over Alejandro Perez, who is the plus 200 underdog.
Nice. This next one... I don't know about this next one. We have Claudia Gadelha going up against Randa Markos.
Yeah, Claudia
16-4 going up against 9-6.
Yeah, the number 6 strawweight Claudia Gadelha, who last time we saw her was that loss against Nina Ansaroff. She had a win over Carla Esparza, and also before that she had a loss to Jessica Andrade. But before that, stopped Carolina, beat Courtney Casey. And she had 2 losses to Joanna. So, I mean, she's fought the best of the best in this division. But she's probably going to get... I don't know. I feel like this should be the heaviest favorite on the card.
Yeah. Randa Markos is on a loss-win, 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 loss-draw-win dating back to 2014.
Yeah.
She recently beat Angela Hill, though. Pretty decent win on that. But
they basically fought the same fighters, so you can kind of...
Yeah, we got to take Claudia in that.
Yeah, I agree with that. The odds in that one, Claudia Gadelha is currently sitting as the minus 225 favorite over the underdog, Randa Markos, who is at plus 185.
This next one, Chito got an opponent.
Yeah.
Marlon Chito Vera was scheduled to fight Sean O'Malley. Sean had a pulsing effect in his
uterus.
I it's every month now. Whatever he popped for.
Austrian.
Austrian, yeah. So he came back.
Austrian.
USADA said, ah, you served your time. You're cool. It's a lot less than you originally tested for. But the Nevada State Athletic Commission were like, no, 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 no.
Stop that.
We want to check this out. Which we were all hoping that Dana White was going to move the card to Anaheim, California, like he did for John Jones, but he did not. So Marlon Chito Vera gets a new opponent. His name is Noelien Hernandez.
Yeah.
His nickname is Suave. He's only 25 years old. He's coming off a 3-fight winning streak. All three wins.
Wait, hold on. What'd you say his record is?
He's 9-2, but he's coming off a 3-fight winning streak. All three wins coming by decision. Chito has looked on fire lately, though, so I think he's absolutely going to get this one done.
Yeah, most likely.
Because his is evolving finishes.
I don't think
His wins have all been finishes.
I don't have odds on this one, but I'm sure he'll be up there as one of the top favorites on the card.
For sure, has to be. I like Chito. He's cool.
Yeah, Cheeto's the man. And,
but, bro, him against O'Malley would have been a... bro, kicks would have been a flying. Let me tell you.
Moving on to the featherweight division. This one's interesting.
We have Gilbert Melendez going up against the streaking Arnold Allen. Arnold Allen is only 25 years old, and he is riding a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-fight winning streak. I lied. That's a 7-fight winning streak. I really counted wrong on that one. but, dude.
Going up against Gilbert Melendez, who...
If this isn't a Mitch match...
Dude, like, back in
the
day...
Is this BJ Penn versus whoever at this point?
Like, back in the day, he was... The man, bro. Like,
oh, bro, when he was a Strikeforce champ 8 years ago? Like.
He beat Clay Guida for the Strikeforce lightweight championship. Beat Tatsuya Kawajiri. He has wins over, oh my gosh, Josh Thompson, Shinya Aoki. I mean, Jorge Masvidal, Diego Sanchez. And that's back in the day. Like, who can forget that fight?
Right.
But in his last... 6 fights, he's 1-5.
He beats Diego Sanchez.
Okay, in 2013.
Benson, yeah. I mean, he's fought the who's who. He's fought Benson Harrison, Anthony Pettis, Eddie Alvarez, Edson Barboza, Jeremy Stevens. But it's like,
we got a guy here who's never lost in the UFC, Arnold Allen. I believe you said he's on a 7-fight win streak.
Yep.
And, submissions, majority, TKOs.
Half of those coming by stoppage.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's been doing great in the UFC. He has a performance or 2 performance of the night bonuses on his record. So,
I think Arnold Allen is going to send Gilbert back to commentary.
Yeah. Arnold Allen is currently sitting as the -370 favorite over the +295 underdog, Gilbert Melendez.
Nice. Going on to this next one. This next one's interesting. Michael
Chiesa. And that was a preliminary card on ESPN. Sorry to cut you off. Now we go to the pay-per-view.
Michael Chiesa called this one out. He wanted Diego Sanchez. The nightmare, the dream, the fucking Lionheart, whatever you want to fucking call him.
Poopy stick.
But he is on a 2-fight winning streak against Craig White and Mickey Gall. A dominant fight against Mickey Gall. Mm-hmm. Michael Chiesa.
Which what?
Huh?
I said which what? Like,
yeah. Like when is that? Like what? Michael Chiesa, since moving up to the welterweight division, has beat Carlos Condit by submission in the second round, trying to make a career turnaround this new weight class. I think he's going to do well here. What?
You think who's going to do well?
Chiesa?
Yeah, for sure. He's about to whop on fucking
in his new weight class.
Diego.
Yeah. He's about to fuck Diego up.
Yeah. It's about to be unfair, honestly.
Nuts. Diego was one of those fighters I think could really benefit from a 165-pound division. He's really just a little bit too big for 55. He's a little bit too small for 170.
Right.
But, we'll see how this one goes. I really think Chiesa is going to get that done.
Chiesa is currently sitting as the -330 favorite over the +255 underdog Diego Sanchez.
Nice.
I feel like those odds should be like...
This next fight, oh my God.
This shit's crying.
Hold me back. Luke Rockhold making his light heavyweight... debut against The former streaking Jan Blachowicz.
Former streaking?
Well, he was on a 4-fight win streak before he met Thiago Santos back in February. He was on a 4-fight win streak before that. Couple submissions and a couple decisions. Dude, Jan Blachowicz is the real deal. But Luke Rockhold, I think this is really the weight class he needs to be at. I think he's going to fill out nice.
Luke Rockhold dated Demi Lovato?
What? Word?
Yeah. For a few months. And then...
That's what's up.
Their first public appearance was at UFC 205 together.
What?
And did they broke up in January 2017.
Oh, did Luke lose that one? Was that when he lost to Bisping?
Oh, my gosh.
That's funny. But, yeah, no, I think Rockhold gets this done. And I think he calls out Jones right after. He is currently the number 3 middleweight contender in the world.
Fuck out of here.
So maybe he is an extra Jones. I think he gets it done here.
Luke Rockhold's the new face of Ralph Lauren's Polo
Blue. You didn't
Blue.
Know that? That was last year. Yeah, Luke Rockhold's been doing modeling for Ralph Lauren. That's why I respect him so much. I respect that man. He does modeling for Ralph Lauren. What do you mean?
Rockhold has been signed by the New York model management agency, Soul Artist Management, the same agency that found fellow UFC fighter Alan Juban and jump-started the career of Channing Tatum?
Wow.
Fucking hell, mate.
Luke's got a future after the UFC.
And he modeled at fucking New York Fashion Week?
Dude, he's out here.
Is he that handsome, though? Or am I missing
he's
something?
He's fucking chiseled, man. Where you been?
I don't know. Let me...
What are you looking at?
Doesn't he have a...
Look up Luke Rockhold nudes.
Doesn't he have a...
Put a virus on your computer, bro.
Doesn't he have a cauliflower ear, though?
I mean, not the worst I've ever seen, but...
He doesn't have a Khabibur?
No. Not a kebab.
Oh, I think that's racist.
What?
I don't think you're supposed to call Muslim people kebabs.
No, I'm saying...
Pretty sure that stems back to old Russian racism towards Afghanis.
Ooh, I apologize, man.
Yeah. That's like an old slur.
All right. He's not having Khabibur. it also sounds bad, but it's fine.
What are the odds in that fight? Luke Rockhold, not too heavy of a favorite. Minus 175 over Jan Blachowicz, plus 145.
Oh, Jan's great. Don't get me wrong. I just think this is Luke's division.
Damn.
6'3", dude. It's time he filled out and just fucking took this division on. I'm telling you, bro. Anyway, going on to our third fight from the main event. We got Jorge Masvidal going up against Ben Askren.
The war of words will
one
come
of the most
to an end.
Talked about fights on the whole card.
Yeah.
The people's main event, if you will. Shout out Ariel Helwani, who apparently came up with that name.
He's a wiener.
Yeah, it's fine. Jorge Masvidal coming off that excellent knockout over Darren Till. And Ben Askren coming off that controversial win. Technical submission over Robbie Lawler. Dude. I went from fucking whiskey to beer. It's not doing me well. Ben trying to keep his undefeated record in the welterweight division. Jorge Masvidal trying to move up the ranks to a title shot. I think watching the Damian Maia fight, I really think that Ben is going to be able to take him down. Because Damian Maia was able to get his back all three rounds, and that's why Jorge lost that fight.
Damn.
I think Ben is going to be a lot better with the takedowns.
Damn.
A lot better. Now, if Jorge can stuff one and counter.
Yeah.
And just fucking rock his
do
shit.
Do exactly what Robbie Lawler did to start.
Then, hey, we're in a fight.
Ugh.
But you can't count Ben Askren out of anything.
Right.
He's 19-0 for a reason.
You gotta, I feel like Ben Askren has to either tap or like be out cold. Like, he's gotta be lifeless looking to be like to call it.
There's
like,
no way.
Like in that last fight, I'm so glad Herb Dean didn't stop that
for
fight
sure.
Because
for sure.
It was getting close, but he wasn't unconscious. He was still defending. He was still moving.
Yeah. No, he was in there. He was eating shots.
Oh, for sure.
But he was taking the shots.
Dude, I can't wait for this one. Jorge Masvidal is going to have to show up at some point to weigh in. So we're going to finally see him since he's been on this like kind of he's not hiding by any means, but he's just not going to the press conferences. He's
which
not
is weird.
He's not feeding into Ben Askren's antics.
Which is weird because he's doing it on Twitter, though. Why would you not want your chance to speak your case in person?
Because he is a little too hot-blooded for that, maybe.
Dude, I don't know, man.
He punched Leon Roberts.
Gave him two pieces and
Leon
a
Edwards.
Three pieces and a biscuit.
Leon Roberts, who's that?
Yeah, well, Leon Edwards.
I said Leon Roberts, so I feel like that's a
ref.
Referee.
Yeah. Yeah. Give him a three piece and a biscuit, but I first of all, why didn't they make that fight?
I know, but
Leon Roberts and Jorge Masvidal could have been a pay-per-view.
You said Leon
fight.
Roberts too?
Fuck! Fuck me up. Leon Edwards and Jorge Masvidal could have been a Fight Night headliner.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Especially with the bad blood.
But I like this one better as the people's main event on the biggest card of the year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right now, Ben Askren's currently sitting as a reasonable favorite, minus 245 over the underdog Jorge Masvidal, who's sitting at plus 205.
Wow.
So Ben Askren putting that 19-0-1 record on the line. We'll see if he can pull another one off and gets 20.
Interesting.
See if he can catch up to Khabib.
Interesting.
And our first championship fight of the night. This is Jack's favorite fight of the night. I'm
really?
Sure he's going to be hyped up for this one. His favorite fighter, Holly Holm, going up against the champ, the lioness, Amanda Nunes.
The GOAT in women's MMA.
For sure. Hands down.
Holly Holm has beaten her who's of champions. She beat Ronda Rousey.
Yep.
She beat Megan Anderson. She took that loss to Cyborg. She took that loss to Drain Durandamy. She took that loss to Misha Tate.
Mm-hmm.
And she took the loss to Valentina Shevchenko all in the last six of her fights.
Mm-hmm.
She did have that crazy knockout over Betch-Koea, and she beat Megan Anderson pretty handedly.
Yeah.
But is she ready for Nunes? No. Nope.
Listen to
nope.
Amanda Nunes's win streak here for me. So.
Oh my God.
Listen
it's,
to this.
It looks nuts.
It's stupid.
It's a lot of green.
She beat Shayna Baszler via leg kick.
Mm-hmm.
That's how she started it off. After she had that unfortunate loss to Kat Zingano. I always say Zingano. That's where we got
Cactus.
Her. Yeah. she went on to beat the great wrestler, Sarah McMahon, via rear naked choke.
Nuts.
Goes on to beat Valentina, the murderer, Shevchenko.
Crazy fight.
Wins the title from Misha Tate.
Wow.
Let me go ahead and knock out Ronda Rousey in 48 seconds real quick.
In the biggest comeback fight in history.
Oh, Valentina's still the number one contender? Let her come eat this shit up again.
Yeah, but
that was a closer one.
A lot of people say Valentina won that.
No.
It's
no,
fine.
You got to take it from the champ.
Yeah,
and
yeah, it's fine.
She didn't.
No, yeah,
that
for
one.
Sure. Yeah.
And then she goes on to knock out Raquel Pennington after brutalizing her for five rounds.
Like, she's never going to be the same.
Right. And then knocks out Cyborg, at that time, the greatest women's fighter in 51 seconds.
To be the number one women's fighter of all time.
Ever.
To have been a double champ.
Ever.
What the fuck? She might defend both belts.
Mm-hmm.
She might beat Holly Holm and then go fight Cyborg again to prove that she can beat Cyborg again.
I hope that happens. She said that the fight was there and Cyborg
rejected
it.
Cyborg said no. That's insane, dude. Like, what? Is Cyborg scared?
Amanda Nunes is definitely my favorite women's fighter, and
yeah,
I think she's going to get it done in this one.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to call my shot yet, but Amanda Nunes.
What are the odds on that one?
The heavy favorite, minus 340 over Holly Holm, plus 265, but we remember what happened when Holly Holm was a little underdog in her last championship fight.
Yeah, but that was Rada. I mean, come on.
That was
it. And that wasn't her last championship fight either.
I know that wasn't her last championship fight, but that was the last one where she was the underdog.
True. Wait, she was the favorite over Durandamy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jermaine Durandamy.
She should have won that fight anyway. So, on to the main event of the evening. John Jones, fighting every 3 months. I love it.
The GOAT.
I love it. He's back to his schedule.
We got the men's GOAT and the women's GOAT in the same night.
Literally.
Embrace it while you can, people.
Oh, my God. So, Thiago Santos, the challenger, coming off a 4-fight win streak. He beat Kevin Holland in a very close fight, I'll add, at middleweight. Kevin Holland was a short notice replacement. He put up a great offense in that fight off his back. He had great submissions off his back, and that's why Kevin Holland's now like a really promising fighter in the welterweight middleweight division.
Definitely.
Went up and absolutely dominated Eric Anders. Totally had a great back and forth war with Jimmy Manoa. Mm-hmm. And then just caught Jan Blachowicz coming in easily in his first headlining fight. Or no, yeah, his first headlining fight in the light heavyweight division.
Mm-hmm.
Tiago Santos was a scary dude.
Yeah.
But he has to now fight the number one light heavyweight. Actually, most people's GOAT.
Yeah, my GOAT.
My GOAT, too. I don't care what you say about Anderson Silva. I don't care what you say about whatever. Like,
GSP.
John Jones has never lost.
Conor McGregor, bro.
John Jones never lost. And they're talking about now overturning the Matt Hamill fight. What do you think about that?
Oh, if that happens, hell yeah, brother.
Bro!
At least
you mean
make
he's undefeated for 21 fights?
At least make it a no contest.
That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Because they say the referee fucked up at that time, which I still think he did. I saw that fight live. I was like 14, 13. I saw that fight live. And like I was like shook. I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean he lost that fight? It should have been an illegal blow and it was a no contest. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
But dude, if John can get that overturned, like the Cormier thing. There's no contest because he tested positive, you know, whatever.
Right.
Anyway, John has been on a quick schedule. He fought in December. He fought in March. And now he's fighting again in July. I love that. I think he's going to be able to dispatch Santos and make a quick turnaround. Now, Santos does have a puncher's chance.
Oh, of course. Especially
you cannot
him.
You cannot count this man
especially
out.
Especially him.
But I think Jones's reach is going to be the biggest factor in this fight.
Just like I said he was going to do against Anthony Smith. Just like I said he was going to do against Alexander Gustafsson. He's going to pick them apart.
They're going to be mesmerized. They always do.
There's different levels to this.
They always do.
Only Daniel Cormier can even possibly contend with him at light heavyweight. And then at heavyweight, there's some other guys who might be able to just purely off size, but
I think Jones at heavyweight is gonna be
But John Jones is the GOAT, and I think he is as Joe Rogan has said, he is the highest level of mixed martial arts. He is the most skillful fighter, most well-rounded fighter on all assets of fighting.
But I think Tiago has
he might throw some wild spinning shit, bro.
Chances to catch him.
He might throw some wild spinning shit.
He might throw some wild shit in general.
He might throw a fucking overhand right.
Jones might not even be ready.
True.
For that.
But I don't know, man. I think it's going to be a John Jones show as usual. He is currently sitting as the minus 600 favorite over the heavy underdog Tiago Santos at plus 400.
Bro, what if he gets on the mic and he calls out Francis Ngannou?
That'd be so awesome.
Oh, my God.
Or just the champ of the heavyweights. That's probably who he'll do. He'll probably have to call out DC, or he'll probably say he wants the winner of that fight.
If they do, they'd be fucked, though, because that's just fucked for Francis.
He might be like, I've had enough of light heavyweight. I think it's time.
No, he's been saying he's comfortable where he's at. He's been saying that in every interview.
Maybe he's been saving it, though, for mic time.
True.
Come on, Slam.
I know this game works. I've been doing this for 2 years.
you're silly.
It's funny. But yeah, I Jones is going to get that done.
Definitely.
I love Tiago, but...
Me too.
So what happens now? Like, light heavy division, everyone's talking about like, oh yeah, everyone's coming up, all these new prospects. Well, what if they all fight each other? Then what if the prospects that already fought Jones beat the new ones coming up? Then you're kind of fucked.
You said lightweight division, so I was really...
I'm sorry.
Talking about lightweight.
No, I'm sorry.
I was like, switching it up.
Light heavyweight division. Yeah, you're kind of fucked if the long-term former Jones opponents end up beating the upcoming prospects.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of in a fucked up situation.
Right.
Like, they like Johnny Walker is a great face.
Definitely.
I think Johnny Walker... Or not Johnny. Dominic Reyes.
Oh,
is gonna
man.
Be a good
he might be next.
Good fight for Jones. I don't think he's gonna beat him, but I think, you know, it's gonna be a good fight.
Right.
Who else is coming up?
But
I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm just saying.
I agree.
What if they all make them fight each other? That's not like they just made Smith fight Gustafson. You know, that's not. And Gus retired. He was like, fuck it. I can't beat Smith. I can't beat Jones. Fuck
it's
it.
Almost time for a John Jones super fight, I feel
it
like.
It has to be.
It's like he's
move
had,
up, bro.
Yeah, he's been having these like fights.
Move
where,
up.
You know,
let these contenders figure themselves out. I think Luke Rockhold is most promising to get into the next title reign. I think he does do enough trash talk to get himself in there to where it would be a good title fight.
Yeah.
But as far as anyone else right now, I don't know, man. I think if Luke Rockhold wins this weekend, I think he calls out Jones or Tiago. If Tiago wins, I think he calls out the winner, and I think he gets it. I don't think Dom Reyes is going to get it over Luke Rockhold.
I hope that's who he fights.
That'd be a great fight. It will be a great fight, but I think Luke gets the next shot.
I hope Luke has to fight one of those top prospects.
He was
to
the
get
former
there.
Champ, you know.
I hope they make Luke have to have two wins to get to that title shot.
Maybe. Maybe that's what it is.
But we'll see.
We will see.
You got any news or anything?
Fuck, not off the top of my head.
Yeah, there's just that bottle cap challenge that's going around.
Oh, yeah, everyone's been throwing kicks and like nominating other people. Dude, Nick Caution from Pro Era did that. Jason Statham, what's his name? Who's a country artist? Not country, but
John Mayer?
Yeah, John Mayer did it.
Damian Maya is now second place for most takedowns.
And second behind Donald Cerrone for most finishes in the UFC.
Ooh, night slim.
Or most wins, rather. Not finishes, most wins.
Kelvin Gastelum is cleared for UFC return, and he called out Jack Hermanson.
Ooh.
Yay.
I like that a lot.
That's a good one. I like that.
I forgot about Hermanson.
But yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, same.
Me and Slim will update you guys next week on our predictions. Honestly, I'm hoping Slim gets at least a couple, because at this point it's just not even, it's not tickling
Stop.
Me, tickling my
Stop.
Heart as much.
Stop. I'm going to come back. We're early. We're 1 month in. One month.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Out of five.
So you sit in my
five
seat
more.
Now, Slim.
Five more.
5 more months for you to poop your pants. Me to just keep increasing my lead slowly.
Who?
Spyro, you want to say anything, buddy?
I don't want to hear him talk. It's scary.
But all right. Tay, you got anything? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Tay. You're 100 and lame.
Oh, shots fired.
Ra-ta-ta-ta. Whatever happened to that guy?
He's doing gay porn now.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like was watching the gay porn and was like, hey, that's a good I'm just kidding. I got it. Started the show with gay porn, ending the show with gay porn.
Whoa.
Later, y'all.